deception, manipulation, lying, brokenness all around, and brokenness within. About a year ago, my husband and I signed up for Mint.com. Do you know this? It's an online resource that hooks into your bank account. And it keeps track of everything that comes in and everything that goes out. And every week, it sends you a little pie chart of how you spend your money. I have a substantial piece of pie dedicated to coffee. It is bigger than I want to admit. I go to work and I swipe my card. I come home from work and I swipe my card. When I'm off, I take my children to the coffee shop and I swipe my card. It is a substantial piece of pie. More than I want to admit. So you know what I did? At the beginning of the week, I started to take out cash. Like $20, $40, so I could pay in cash and not with my card. And I watched that piece of pie shrink, and I felt good about myself. It's deception and manipulation and lying to yourself and to your spouse. In small ways and in large ways. It's brokenness all around and brokenness inside. Have you ever tried to keep a food journal? Every night before you go to bed, you jot down everything you ate that day, but the scale won't budge. It's because you leave out all the Cheez-Its that you eat on the playground with your children. It's because you leave out your spouse who orders dessert and you say, oh, I don't want any, and then you take 6-7 bites. It just doesn't make it in the journal. Or looking ahead to Halloween, those little mini candy bars, they look so small, but they add up 10, 12, and it doesn't make it into the food journal because of this deception. This self-manipulation, this lying to yourself and to others, this brokenness all around and even inside. It happens in these small ways and it happens in bigger ways. She came in here about a month ago and we sat down right in that front pew and she said, I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of it. I can't stop drinking and getting high. At work, I blame it on my family. I keep lying about my family. I came in late today because my daughter had a doctor's appointment. I'm sorry I didn't call. I couldn't even make it in all day because my son was so sick. At home, she lies about her workplace. I can't come home early tonight. I've got to stay late. There's so much work. I'll be home around 10:30, maybe 11. She keeps lying to her spouse. Face to face. I'm going to change. Trust me. Have faith in me. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to do better. But what fuels those lies is planning the next high. It's deception. Manipulation. Lying and brokenness. Like glass all around and brokenness inside. Jacob was a master deceiver. He was a manipulator extraordinaire. He was a liar's liar. That's what his name means in Hebrew. He is the supplanter, the one who puts himself first and kicks the other person away. He knew how to play the game. Before he was born, he was wrestling with Esau in Rebekah's womb. Fighting. Esau came out first, all furry and hairy, and Jacob came out holding on to his heel. Remember that? Esau sold Jacob his birthright for a pot of his stew. How does that happen? When their father Isaac got old and vulnerable and blind. Has this happened in your family? Someone comes in at the 11th hour and changes the will. And the tears and the brokenness and the estrangement. Jacob went out and killed two goats. One that Rebekah prepared for a feast for her husband. And one that Jacob skinned with a sharp knife. And Rebekah sewed him some things to go on his arms. Remember this? Something to go around his neck. He went in to that tent. And it smelled like death. And it smelled like vulnerability, but to Jacob, it smelled like an opportunity. He went into that tent, and Isaac said, "Esau, is that you? My son, is that you?" And Jacob said, "It is I." Isaac said, "It sounds like Jacob, come here and let me touch you." And Isaac put out his hand like Thomas did to put in the side of Christ's wound. Isaac put out his hands and touched that skin of the goat, touched it and believed it was Esau. Blessed Jacob and not Esau. Gave everything to Jacob and nothing to Esau, and now he is on the run. He is running away from his brother's anger, to be sure, and he is running away from his father's disappointment and from Rebekah, who seemed to mastermind it all. He is on the run for 20 plus years until his brother catches up to him and asks for a family reunion. Like a backyard barbecue, except Esau is bringing 400 of his strongest men. That's where Jacob is this morning. He is on the bank of the river, and he sends his wives and his maids and everything he owns to safety. He doesn't want his brother to get his hands on it. It is the night before the family reunion, and a stranger comes to him. And they start to wrestle. Scripture says it's a man. Hosea says it's an angel. Is it his conscience? You bet it is. Is it his guilt? You know it is. Is it fear personified? Is it God on high? You bet it is. Jacob struggles with God all night. And when God sees how strong Jacob is, he hits him in the hip. But Jacob keeps fighting. They wrestle all night until God says, "Let go of me. Day is breaking in my soul. Day is breaking all over the earth. Let go of me." But Jacob, the one who came out holding on to the heel of Esau, says, "I will not let go until you bless me." He sees another opportunity. And so God says, "What is your name?" And the one who lied about his name to his father calls a spade and says, "I am Jacob. I am the deceiver. I am the manipulator. I am the liar. I am so far gone, I can't even keep a food journal." And God said, "No, you're not. You are no longer Jacob. The past is finished and gone. You are Israel. You are the one who struggles with God." That's what Israel means. You are the one who struggles with the good. You are the one who struggles with the light. You are the one who struggles with what's right. You are the one who struggles with humanity, with your relationships, and you are the one who will prevail. This is good news for Jacob, but it is also good news for you. You are no longer a deceiver. a manipulator, a liar, a person broken on the inside and out. You are changed. This is what it means to struggle with God. You are the one who is struggling, and you are the one who is being formed and changed into a brand new thing. It takes all night. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, but the dawn always comes. Every morning you wake up. Every morning you have breath in your lungs. This is what happens. God takes your face in her hands. After a lifelong of struggle, God takes your face in her hands and says, I love you. You are my beloved. You are the one who struggles and prevails. Today, you are blessed. That's what Jacob has been aching for his whole life, for God to smile on him. That's what we all ache for. And today, it is yours. You are Israel. You are the church. You are the people who struggle with God and who prevail. Will it make you walk differently? You bet it will. It's supposed to. You're supposed to follow a new way. Will it make you talk differently? Will it make your relationships different? Will it make your life completely different? It will, and it is supposed to. This is the good news. After the morning broke, after the day overwhelmed the night, after that lifelong of struggling with God, Jacob looked up and saw his brother Esau and 400 of the strongest men. What did he do if not bend down 7 times in front of his brother to honor him? And what did Esau do if not sprint towards him and hold on to him? And together they wept. And then Jacob took Esau's face in his hand and said, in your face I have seen the face of God. In your face, in this new relationship, I have seen God smiling on the new creation. This is your good news. You are no longer the deceiver or the manipulator or the liar, the one who creates brokenness outside and within. You are a new creation altogether. You are blessed by God. Now go and walk differently. Friends, say amen.